Collage of Memories, written by Snow Relic. A new Carnival Podfic, rated explicit, with archive warnings for graphic depictions of violence and major character death. Featuring Aiden, Yakumo, Edmund, Olivine, Keshi, Kyuya, Garu, Karu, Aster, Morivius, Blade, Enten, and Rin. Additional tags: angst, death, character death, everyone dies, hurt, no porn, blood and violence, grief mourning, unhealthy coping mechanisms, suicide, some humor, some fluff, implied referenced drug use. Summary. Aiden introduces a magical device that takes a snapshot of the scene around them, a Polaroid. Kyuya has taken a particular interest in this and enjoys searing moments in the clan in his memory. Little does he know, these photos are the last few memories he'll ever have of them. After the new Grand Sorcerer faces a fatal blow, the clan descends into different stages of grief, ultimately leaving Kyuya alone. Chapter 1, read by Apple Sapling. Human chatter is one of the most annoying noises in the world. It's loud, it's abrasive, it's constant, it's meaningless. And the town was full of it. The humans are more populated than before in the past. The stalls were built with stones and bricks rather than sticks and straws like back then. The roads were built on sturdy slabs rather than just a trail of dark and dust. A lot has changed since the last time Kyuya was here with Huey. And now here he was, many years later, with his descendant of some sort. To his side, he felt a squeeze at his hand as the charming, fragulent sorcerer tugged him down the street. Unfortunately, it was midday. The lack of shade and crowds of bodies made Kyuya cringe. "Whoa, look at this!" Aiden drifted off to a busy stall. He dragged Kyuya along with him, their hands clasped together tightly. His excuse was that he was too excitable and he might get lost and cause trouble, but Kyuya knew Aiden just wanted to hold hands. Not that he minded. "No way, they have this in Klein?" The warmth of Aiden's hand left, and Kyuya was stuck sticking his head over Aiden's shoulder. The stall was cramped. The noise was loud. Kyuya hated this. How did this human manage to convince Kyuya all the way out here? He would love to know the answer. "What caught your eye this time, young master?" Kyuya looked down and saw a black box in Aiden's hands. It was oddly shaped with strange lamps sticking out of the center. There was a hole there, but Kyuya noticed the hole was covered with a film of glass. "It's a camera, have you never heard of it?" Kyuya opened his mouth to answer, but the stall owner interrupted. "Uh-huh, you have a good eye, mister. That right there is my newest creation." Kyuya scowled. "You created this?" Aiden looked up with sparkling eyes. "It took many years to perfect, but now it's ready for the public to use," the owner boomed. "It's called a memograph. I created it with the intention to forever preserve memories. It takes a moment in time and stops it. And then it prints out a photograph for you to remember. It can be used for every occasion. This device can make time permanent." Strange. Since when did ordinary humans learn to produce something like this? Even magic can't make time permanent. "It's not magic," Aiden whispered into Kyuya's ears. His ears twitched in annoyance at the thought of Aiden knowing what he was thinking. "It's actually pretty interesting science. Let's buy one and I'll show you how to use it. Kyuya couldn't find it in him to object. His curiosity got the best of him, and he allowed Aiden to take the bag off his shoulder to pay for the mammograph. The sun had started to set into a deep orange. The air was crisp, and yet Kyuya felt no cold. Time spent with Aiden always made him strangely warm. Unfortunately, time with Aiden also felt very short. Aiden had finally had his fill of fun and decided to head back to Astor's mansion. The day flashed by quickly, and Kyuya wished they didn't have to go back so soon. Kyuya knew he could have offered to teleport them back, but this uninterrupted time with the young master was rare to come by. Aiden wouldn't stop examining the device in his hands as they left the town. Kyuya's own hands were clasped behind his back, cold now without Aiden's to hold. These are called Polaroids back at home. It's kinda cool to hear how the owner created it. This was already there when I was born, so I guess I took this technology for granted. The shopkeeper managed to make some film, but there's so little. I'm going to see if I can make more. I used to do some newspaper and magazine printing on the side. It shouldn't be too different than that, huh? Kyuya walked silently alongside him as he described how the light goes through the lens and other stuff that's spewing out of his mouth. His eyes sparkled every time he talked about his world. His enthusiasm was contagious. Kyuya felt himself leaning in with every word, even if he doesn't know what a magazine means. But he didn't want to interrupt him. His voice was soothing. Aiden talks almost as much as the people in town do. But, strangely enough, this particular human's chatter wasn't as annoying. Kyuya, look here! Aiden smiled as he held up the Polaroid camera to the sky. The dark hole stuck out and stared blankly back at them. Hmm? Kyuya looked at the device with an indifferent stare. Suddenly, he felt a warm touch at the side of his cheek as the Polaroid flashed brightly. The light beamed straight into Kyuya's eyes, momentarily blinding the fox. What did you do? Kyuya growled as he closed his eyes instinctively, the burst of light searing into his mind. He knew he wasn't in any danger, judging from the belly-aching laugh Aiden made. However, the annoyance remained from knowing Aiden managed to land a trick on him. Young master, once I regain my sight, you will be severely punished. You're so dramatic. Open your eyes, it's not that bad. Kyuya opened a single eye before blinking harshly. Unfortunately, he was right. The light did no harm to his eyesight. The remnants of the bright light eased away as his sight was slowly restored. The punishment, however, still remains. Kyuya stretched out an arm towards the man. Ignoring the threat, Aiden pulled a black film out of the box and thrusted it into his outstretched hand. Here, wave this around. Curiosity got the better of him and Kyuya flicked an irritated finger, making the film float out of Aiden's grasp. What in the world is this? It started to shake in the air as if an invisible force were waving it around. Hey, no magic! Aiden jumped up and grabbed onto the film. This is the fun part of the Polaroid experience. He sticks the film out towards Kyuya once again. Humor me. He looked at Kyuya seriously. Kyuya sighed. Anything for the young master. Aiden bared his signature cheeky grin. The urge to pinch his cheek was strong. Kyuya waved the film for a couple of seconds, with that usual bored look. He glanced at the film, and the screen was still white. Aiden maintained his smile, nudging Kyuya to continue to wave. He rolled his eyes and continued to wave. After some time passed, He then noticed a soft shadow slowly forming past the white part of the film. The picture began to develop, and Kuya saw himself and the young master inside of the photograph.
"Look at that look on your face!"
Aiden laughed, peeking at the photograph in Kuya's hand. The warmth on his cheek he felt earlier was a surprise kiss from Aiden. The Kuya in the picture was wide-eyed, with his mouth slightly opened. Kuya felt a slight blush of shame creep up. And that's what a Polaroid does. It just takes a picture and prints it out, and now you have it forever, Aiden repeated the owner's speech. He looked at the picture fondly. Here, you can keep the camera. You'll have a lot more fun with it than I will. Kuya was rendered speechless as Aiden handed off the box. His pride was struggling to accept the gift, but his curiosity was invested. He looked back at the picture they just took, and a flash of warmth flooded through his body.
"You like the picture?" Aiden teased.
"Perhaps. However, I believed you missed your target." Kuya felt his voice turn husky. He turned towards Aiden and gently grabbed his chin. He claimed a deep kiss of Aiden's lips. They were soft. Kuya tucked the photograph flat in his pocket, worried it would crumple during this activity. A gentle moan escaped Aiden's throat. Kuya gently eased his tongue along Aiden's lips.
"We can't do it here,"
he whined, remembering they were standing in the middle of the road. Kuya broke the kiss with a thin line of saliva connecting them. It broke, as Kuya said. "Don't act like the young master isn't interested in doing it outdoors."
"At least behind a tree."
Aiden groaned as Kuya ran his hand down his back and palmed his ass.
"What a naughty little vixen, so easily swayed,"
Kuya grinned.
"You did it first,"
Aiden beat back, but the flash on his face showed unmistakable desire. Without another word, Kuya attacked his young master into the bushes. They emerged out of the bushes and into a clearing. Heaving heavily, they all slumped down onto the dry, brittle grass. The clan's essence was nearly completely depleted. They gently laid Aiden on the ground. He was motionless. That particular hit from the Dead Zone monster had injured him pretty badly. The scene replayed in Kuya's mind on a loop. The way the monster ran straight through their defenses and onto the weak sorcerer. The way it pounced. The way Aiden screamed in agony before being silenced immediately. The wails of the other clan members as they watched what happened. The rest of the battle was a blur. The tears swelled in their eyes as they crowded around the corpse.
"Master?"
Garo's throat made his signature puppy whine as he held Aiden's hand. He held it gently, avoiding the cold, broken fingers. His fingers were already cold when they first entered the Dead Zone. Kuya knew. Aiden was constantly squeezing his hand in anxiety as they entered the Black Forest. But now, they had no way of warming up from the lack of blood. Aster and Morivius were in their familiar forms as they hovered above the group. They fluttered nervously, uncertain of what they could do to help. The priest was already caring for Aiden, with one hand on the steel chest and another on his holy book. The body was gruesome. Blood bloomed from the open wound on his chest. There was a slight squish as Olivine pressed his hand down, desperately reaching for a heartbeat. A faint glow entered as he channeled magic into the body.
"Jakomo,
I know you studied a little on healing magic. Please, lend me a hand. His voice broke, feeling powerless. But what if I hurt him? I lost control earlier.
Yakumo sobbed as he reflected on his outburst when the monster hit Aiden. The serpent yokai immediately massacred the rest of the assaulting enemies. It took a long time and some suppressing potions to calm him down.
Please, Olivine pleaded. It's better than nothing, Yakumo. I need you. Aiden needs you.
Tears rushed to the edges of the priest's eyes. Yakumo took a deep breath and wiped away his tears as he knelt down. They came flowing back immediately, but the serpent didn't falter. His shaking hands made its way to the motionless chest.
Okay.
Does anyone else know healing magic? Edmund barked in his loud vice captain tone of voice. He seemed to be holding on, but ever so often, a slight tremble wrecked through the human.
I don't know any healing magic.
Blade's voice shook. His fingers fought with each other in worry.
Will Darling be okay?
Nobody answered his question. Keshi was stone-faced.
I had healing potions.
He usually carried them for himself. Unfortunately, it had been used up during the battle before Aiden was attacked. In hindsight, it should have been obvious that Aiden would need them the most.
My fire magic is incapable at attempting healing powers.
Anten gritted his teeth. The young Sandlord finally understood what it felt like to be powerless. All that attack power meant nothing when it couldn't benefit his comrades. All eyes landed on Kyuya.
I'm proficient in illusionary magic, Kyuya scoffed.
His pride would never let him admit he was unable to perform a certain aspect of magic. But he knew that they knew he couldn't.
It's okay, Olivine spoke up. It's okay, we got this. He'll be all right.
That sounded more like a prayer than the truth. Yakumo nodded as he channeled a bright light at Aiden's body.
Yes, we got this.
That sounded even more uncertain coming from him. The dead zone was quiet. The clouds were dark and still, as if they were going to start raining any second. The few trees with leaves still on them never moved. The ground was littered in meat and blood and bones. The air was suffocating. The smell of iron and sweat and monster fur was strong. Everyone had minor injuries. Their well-regulated essence was quick to heal the cuts and slashes on their skin. Aiden cared for them well. They all knew Aiden was powerless. They all stationed themselves around him knowing that he was the one most likely to suffer deep injuries. They were constantly aware of where he was on the battlefield. And yet, the fragile sorcerer still managed to get fatally wounded. It was over in an instant. No one fully saw how the monster attacked, but they witnessed the entire aftermath. After defeating the monster, Aiden was already long gone. The fact that his body remained intact was a miracle. Blood pooled through the front of his shirt. His neck twisted in the wrong direction. His limbs were splayed out like a used-up puppet. It took everything out of them to adjust his body into a presentable position. Sweat formed on both Olivine's and Yakumo's brows. They both had a look of total concentration. Aiden's limbs straightened as his bones were mended. Blood stopped pouring out of his body and instantly dried up, evaporating from his clothes.
The amount of healing magic the two were pulsing in was so powerful, it even caused the barren ground to lighten. Hope bloomed in Kyue's chest as the light got brighter and brighter. The ground around the group of men started to grow. First, it was green grass. Next, small weeds began to form. Then different species of flowers bloomed and opened fully. Their powers were extraordinary. "It looks just like before," Garo muttered as he watched the greens grow. He was right. The amount of essence the healers were channeling was making this small patch of land prosper again. The light shattered into sparkling specks. Everyone held their breaths as they watched Aiden's chest carefully. It never moved. "Fuck!" Olivine shouted. His voice reverberated through the empty plain before the cries broke into sobs. No one batted an eye at the curse word the priest said. Olivine said what everyone thought. Kyuya felt his eyes water. "I'm sorry," the priest buried his face into his hands. "Lord of Klein, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have studied offensive magic. I should have listened to my father. I should have kept studying healing magic. I should have followed my path." He sobbed, full of regrets. "I'm so sorry, Aiden. I'm so sorry. I was greedy. I wanted to be stronger. I wasn't strong enough. Fuck. I wasn't strong enough." Olivine's wails brought Edmund and Enten to their knees. The humans finally realized how little power they have. Normally, Kyuya would feel a sense of smugness. But he was no better. After all, he didn't have an ounce of healing magic for the young master. Yakumo's silent sobs grew louder as he spoke. "No, I should have studied harder at healing magic. I didn't want to learn the power of destruction my ancestor had. I should have tried harder. I should have been better. I couldn't protect you, Mr. Aiden, please." He hiccuped. "Please come back. I'm sorry. I'll try harder." Another hiccup. "I'll do better, please." Shadowy essence emerged from the sobbing serpent. While he cried in grief, the essence wiggled in hostility. Kyuya felt himself unconsciously step back from him. "Put that away," he hissed. "Control yourself." Yakumo looked up, shock spread across his face at Kyuya's harsh words. Sorry. The Sun Lord sighed, disappointed at the serpent's lack of composure. "You're still in front of him. Show some respect. Contain your essence." Yakumo swallowed nervously, looking like he was going to burst into louder tears. But he closed his eyes and took some shaky breaths. It took forever for the dark tendrils to back off. Kyuya felt his face grow wet. He looked up, expecting the clouds to start raining. But his vision blurred. He looked back down and felt falling plops onto his hands. "Oh, he's crying." Thick arms wrapped around Kyuya's waist. Kushi was hugging him. "Get off me," Kyuya snarled. But even he felt his voice crack. "Stop," Kashi grunted. His voice was full of pain. For a moment, it felt like Kashi was holding Kyuya for his own sake. In their struggle, they made eye contact. Kyuya could see the hurt in his old friend's eyes. His eyes were watering too. That was enough to get Kyuya to let loose. His sobs were quiet, but he stopped resisting and leaned into Keshi's arms. They both understood grief. They have experienced more than enough in their long lifetime. But this was the first time they experienced it together. This was the first time it hit so hard. Garu began wailing.
Master, please don't go. Master, we didn't get to do everything yet. What do I do without you, Master?
Garu sobbed uselessly.
Karu misses you too.
The e-droid slowly walked towards the wolf pup. He fell to his knees with a clank. His body lost its usual grace. Blade wrapped his arms around Garu and managed to peel his hand off Aiden's. He pulled Garu a few distances away from the corpse.
I don't understand this emotion. Blade's soft voice broke the wolf's sobs.
But it hurts. Why does it hurt my body? Emotions don't physically hurt. His baby pink eyes peeked through his hair.
That's grief, Anten whispered.
He shook his head as if willing himself not to cry. It hurts. It hurts every part of your body. It hurts the closer you are to the person. It's both the strongest and the weakest emotion. The Sun Lord has had his own share of grief. It seems he has had practice holding his tears back. But once one slipped through the crack, it wouldn't stop flowing.
I don't like it.
Blade wrapped his arms tighter around Garu and buried his face in the soft mass of hair.
I don't like it. I don't want it. Make it go away.
E-droids don't cry. Kyuya knew that. Blade never cried once in all his years of knowing him. And it seems like he still can't now. Tears are useless to an assassin.
You stupid, insolent fraud! Edmund shouted past his tears, making Yakumo and Garu visibly shake in surprise. Stupid, weak, useless! You could have not died, you stupid!
He wailed in agony. Usually, the vice captain has a better way with words. But everything coming out of his mouth was incoherent. Yakumo and Olivine pulled away from Aiden's body and made their way over to Edmund, who was pounding on the ground with his fist. They each took a hand and just held him, preventing him from hurting himself anymore.
I failed, the vice captain sobbed into the air.
Aster and Morivius plopped onto the ground, out of energy. Even their back forms cried.
Did we lose him too?
Morivius mumbled. Feelings of despair shook his small frame.
Master.
Aster trailed off, uncertain of what to say. The two familiars had always been loyal to Huey, but they bore full responsibility for bringing Aiden to this world. The grief they felt was heavier than when Huey was lost. A whimper escaped Kyuya's lips. The dead zone was silent, other than the sniffling and crying of the sorcerer's clan. But all the crying in the world wouldn't revive their dear master. They visited Aiden's grave every month. None of the clan members had the strength to move his body. Perhaps it was the nature of the dead zone, but Aiden's corpse refused to budge from where they first laid him down. The green patch of life that surrounded Aiden when Olivine and Yakumo tried to revive him stayed bright and vibrant. The essence was so powerful that even Aiden's corpse refused to rot. They weren't sure if that was a curse or a blessing. After all, they were able to continuously see their precious young master. But they were also constantly reminded about their failures.